Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We are in Psalm 42, and we're also going to preach from Psalm 43. So Psalm 43 is not in your bulletin today, so I would encourage you to open your Bible app or the Bible in your pew, so that you can follow along. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. I would like to ask you to read it together with me. Please read Psalm 42 together, and then I'll read Psalm 43. Just gonna have something. Okay, so let's read Psalm 42 from verse 1, as the deer. Let's read. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as foes taunt me, saying to me all, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Follow me as I read Psalm 43. Vindicate me, my God, and please plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The very words of God. Amen. So, I was studying this a couple of weeks ago, preparing for our message, and I told it to Pastor Kevin, and Pastor Kevin said, why not do Psalm 43 together with Psalm 42? And I thought, yeah, that's a good idea. It's one psalm. However, I thought maybe the sermon will go in an hour, or an hour and a half maybe. And then Pastor Kevin said, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong. But that's too long for me. So, but anyways, it won't be an hour. I have to finish the sermon before my son wakes up and starts crying. So briefly, let's go over Psalm 42 and 43. There was a man named St. John of the Cross, a very early church father. And he wrote a work that has gone down through the millennia of Christianity. And it is called The Dark Night of the Soul. The Dark Night of the Soul. It is a time and a season when your soul, and some would say your psyche, your psychology, your heart, your person, is going through a time when there is no light. And it is a time when the places where you go for nourishment and encouragement, refreshment, they're gone. And it's as if your soul, your spirit, has left the daylight and gone into the darkness. And St. John of the Cross refers to it as the dark night of the soul. And this is the theme of our psalm today. The psalms are the greatest collection of music and of prayers and meditation in the Bible. The Bible is 66 books, over 40 authors, 1,400 years of authorship. Psalms is the biggest book in that collection. And one commentator says, the one great thing about the Psalms is that it spans all of the human experience, the highest heights and the lowest depths. Everything from joy to pain, dancing to weeping. And in our psalm, it is a psalm of lament, but it is not a typical song of lament. It is an unusual psalm of lament. Two-thirds of the book of Psalms are lament, sadness, and woe. There was a writer named George MacDonald. He's C.S. Lewis's favorite author. And in his book, At the Back of the North Wind, it's a beautiful children's story. I'll tell my kids someday. But in it, a boy hears a song that the bird is singing, and it's a very sad song, and the boy asks the North Wind, who is kind of the figure of God, and he says, why does the song of the bird so sad? Why does the bird sing sad songs? And the North Wind says, because sad songs are the best songs. They tap into the experience that every human being has. And it's something that draws out of us, the people, something that we feel, but maybe we can't say. And so this Psalm 42 is saying, you feel this. Maybe you don't know what to do about it or what to say. And so let me show you. And so God gives us the gift of Psalm 42 and 43. Now, let's get into the text. The text describes three things. The condition of the dark night of the soul. Some would say spiritual depression. The condition. Then there's the causes of the condition. Why are they in this situation of the heart? And then the cure. The condition, the cause, and the cure. So let's go into it. Verse 1, it says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for God. I long for God, the living God. Now, let's take an image here. Do a Google image of a Google search of the deer. The deer is not a stupid animal. It is an extinctual creature. Meaning this, if the deer is thirsty, it's going to drink. I'm thirsty, I'm going to find the river and I'm going to drink. But the situation he's describing is the condition where the deer is thirsty It goes to the water, but the water is not there. It could be a drought. There is no rain. That's the season where the riverbed is empty. The brooks and the streams are dry. And the author says, that's my soul right now. That's the condition. I go to God, but God is hard to get. It's not that I'm running away from God, and therefore I can't find God. It's that I run to the place where I normally find God. Where is he? He's hard to get. What do I do in this situation? That's the condition. And he outlines all of those things that we see when you're in this dark night of the soul, this spiritual depression. There's a longing. There's a desire that's not fulfilled. Verse 1, I long for God. There's number 2. In verse 2, I'm waiting. When can I meet with God? Look at verse 3. There's grief. There's tears. And there's sleeplessness. That's grief. That's the condition. Look at verse 10. There's people mocking him, and they're teasing him, and they're saying, where is your God? He's humiliated. There's taunting. In verse 10, he's saying there's a physical pain to it. Do you understand that when you're depressed and when you are in a state of darkness spiritually, it manifests itself physically, right? There's tears, there's sleeplessness. And in verse 10, it says, it's almost as if someone took a sword and jammed it in my leg. Have you ever been there where the pain is so deep, you can feel it in your stomach? Nobody touched you. Nobody smacked you. Nobody's hit you. But you feel a physical pain. Some of you haven't lived long enough yet. But keep on living. Amen, somebody. Sometimes life makes you cry. You don't know why you're crying. You don't know where these tears are coming from. It's just coming out. That's the reality of it. Maybe you don't agree with that. Maybe you don't cry. Maybe you're too strong. That's okay. Just keep on living. Eventually, you'll get there. Physical pain. There's a sense of drowning. Look at verse 7. Deep calls to deep. And then your waves. I'm drowning in this. Sorrow, grief, misery. I can't get my head above it. Verse 9, it's the worst right there. There's abandonment. Verse 2, there's rejection. God, why have you forgotten me? Why have you rejected me? Why have you abandoned me? God has turned his back on him. That's how it feels. You ever feel that? And then there's another one, 43, verse 1. Excuse me, I could be wrong with that. It's rescue. You see the word rescue? When will you rescue me, O God? It's the image of a prison. Somebody is in the bars of a prison emotionally. I'm in an emotional prison, and I can't get myself out. I need a rescue. Where are you, God? The condition. There's a distance. Look at verse 6 of 42. I remember you from far away. The mount, where is it? Mount, I can't. Yeah, the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon. It's a mountain range away from the central place of worship. There's Jerusalem, the mountain of the temple of God, and then there's the mountain range of Hermon, and there's, you know, Mizar, one of the mountains there. He feels a distance. It's almost, it's not a physical, but it could be a physical, but it's like I'm away from God, and I can't get my way back to him. Finally, there's a darkness. There's a lostness. Verse 3 of Psalm 43. He says, God, send me a light, because I'm in the dark. Do you see that? There's a darkness, and he's lost. He's dark, and he doesn't know if he should go this way. He doesn't know if he should go that way. He doesn't know if he's turned. Have you ever been lost, like really lost at night? That's a scary thing. In Japan, in the countryside, there's no signs, no street lights. That's a scary thing. And you got a cold sweat, and you're gripping onto the wheel, and you're like, I don't know where this road's going to go, but we'll see. Spiritually, that's the condition of the dark night of the soul. Are you depressed yet? Have I gotten you down there deep? You know? Okay. Yeah, it's dark. And so that's the condition. Now, I need to stop here for just a minute, because what I love about Mitaki, oh, it's such a great place to be. There are saints and there are Christians here who have been Christians a long time. They know their Bibles. They know they've known God and they've followed God for most of their life. That's a wonderful thing. But then there are others here, which is also one of my favorite things about Mitaki. There are new Christians. There are some people here who have known Christ less than 10 years. Less than 5 years. You've known Jesus less than 3 years. Some of us less than 1 year. Some of us are just getting to know who Jesus is. And for those of you who are still new to the faith or still coming to know Jesus, I want to give you an encouragement and a warning. Please understand that as a Christian, you will go through a season, maybe once, maybe more than once, where you can come to church. There's no more music in your heart. You open your Bible, and it's just a blank page, and you can't understand what's going on here. You can go to the internet and download some sermons. You can open up the blogs. All these places you go for spiritual nourishment and why am I doing this? You don't need to understand how to deal with that. What do I do in this situation? If you don't, you may end up like some of the older Christians who, when they have gone through this, they thought, what I need to do is be more religious. I need to have more Bible studies. I need to have more sermon downloads. I need to go to more prayer meetings and all of that. And they add religion on top of religion so that they can have a higher and they can find something to experience. And 1 minute they wake up and they think, there is no joy in this. This is all just, I have to do these things. These is all duties and there's no joy. That's one problem. The other way that you could end up, if you don't know how to handle this situation, is what you do is you say, oh, that was my religious phase. I see. I found God, or I became born again, and now I'm over it. And you look back on a period of life where you had these spiritual highs, and you go through a dark night of the soul, and you fall away from God, and you think, oh, that was just, you know, me growing out of it. And that's a mistake too. And you grow away from God. Where are you now? How are you handling it? Some of you, you've come out of the dark night. Some of you, you see the clouds approaching. How you doing? So that's the condition. Some of the causes. I'll just give you two. We see there in verse 6 that he's somewhere distant. He's in exile, in a sense. We don't know the reason why. He says, I remember you from the Jordan, excuse me, from the Hermon mountain range, Mount Hermon, right? And also, he sees, you can see that he's amongst his enemies. You saw the word enemies there a few times, and he's almost as if he's a captive and the enemies are taunting him. Where's your God now? Why doesn't your God save you? And so it's almost an exile situation. And we see in verse 1 of chapter 43 that he's in a godless nation. He's amongst the people that don't know God. Some of us, you found yourself here. You come from a place where there's churches almost on every corner. And then you come to Japan, and man, you have to get on a bus, and then you have to take a train, and then you have to transfer that train just to get to Mitaki. Some of us are coming from ferry, you know, because there's no churches around. And you're in a place where it's like, where is God here? And it's almost an exile. So there's a kind of distance, and then there's exile, and then there's I need to go back to the physical component. Verse 3, it says, my tears have been my food day and night. Now, most of the commentators, they don't acknowledge this, but your spiritual condition has a physical element. There's one who was a doctor, this commentator, and he understood, you're not sleeping, you're not eating, all you're doing is crying. Physically, it's affecting you spiritually. And there's a kind of an interplay between your body and your spirit, right? That's the beautiful thing about the Bible. The Bible doesn't make it all about your spirit, your soul. The Bible understands you as a human being are nuanced. There's a multifaceted to you. And the Bible says, look, it's not just the prayers. It's the sleep. It's not just the confession of sin. It's a good diet. Yes, if you have clinical depression, go to a doctor, get some medicine. We're not just going to exorcise the demon, but we're going to get some treatment because it's a holistic thing. That's what the Bible is teaching us here. So there's the causes. It could be an exile. It could be a physical situation. And let's get right to the point. The one of the best ways we can see an illustration of this is from Psalm 3. It's Psalm 3. You don't have to turn there. But Psalm 3 is a psalm written by King David. And King David was exiled, though he was the king. What happened was his son, Absalom, performed a coup d'etat, a rebellion, led the rebellion. And so now his son was going to come and take the throne away from him. And so David had to run for his life into exile. And in that time, David wrote Psalm 3. And what we see from Psalm 3 is a direct correlation to Psalm 42 and 43. What is it? You see, David experienced also a dark night of the soul, a spiritual depression. And there is something that he learned about himself and how to handle it. And it's in verse, it's in Psalm 3. You see, what happened was David understood, oh, this is what the problem was. My glory was in two things. The love of my son, which is my family, and the acclaim of my people. Now, I need to back up. David thought his glory. Glory in the Old Testament literally comes from weight, heaviness. And when you have weight, you have glory. And weight means your life mattered. You had significance. It's what affirmed you as a human being. And so his affirmation as a human being, he learned, was in his son, the love of his family, and the acclaim of his people, the fact that he was a king, and he had stature, and he had respect and honor from the people. and he had love from his beloved son Absalom. And he found his glory in those two things. And then what happens? Take it all away. Take everything away. And David comes to realize, I get it. God, my glory, my weight, my personhood is not in those two things. It's in you. And it says in Psalm 3, verse 3, the Lord is my glory, my strength, and my song. And so now what he's doing in that psalm, he's saying, I got to switch my personhood, not getting it from them, but from him. Amen. It comes from him. Can I just tell you how freeing that is? The weight is lifted. When I understood that, I'll never forget that day. It's with me for the whole rest of my life. I felt like I could walk on air finally. I felt like I could breathe. Because those things that I thought were my God, which gave me life, they could now be what they are. They could just be my family. They could just be my job. They could just be my hobbies. They could just be, and my God can now be my God. And that's the freedom in finding your glory in God. My friends, this is an opportunity. If you are in spiritual darkness, if you are in the dark night of the soul, if you're down, utsubyo, they taking a utsubyo, a spiritual depression, it is an opportunity for you to repent of your false gods and finally let God be your weight, your glory, your meaning in life. And so what do you do? The cure, right? The cure is found in three places. Verse 5, verse 11, and at the end of Psalm 43. I can't remember the last one. I think it's verse 5 of Psalm 43. It's one refrain, one thing again and again. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Are you getting this? This is the cure. This is how you deal with it. Here's what he's saying. He's saying this. All of us in here, we all know it. We have the voice inside of our head and in our heart. All of us have that little thing on our shoulder talking to us the whole time. He's saying, this situation is so bad. These people don't care about you. Where is your God now? How you doing now? What you're going to do with your prayer and your quiet times and your music and your worship songs and your church and your giving? What good is that doing? And he's talking to you. He's talking to you. And then he says in verse 5 and verse 11 and in Psalm 43, you have to take that voice by the collar of his shirt and say, now you listen to me. If you're listening too much, it's time to start preaching. You see, you come to church and you have Chris or Pastor Kevin and Pastor Hiroshi, we're preaching to you. No. That's not enough. And then you go online and you're downloading this preacher and that pastor. Just out of curiosity, who in here, you can raise your hand, you don't have to if you're shy, but who downloads sermons off online, right? Just download, okay, that's fine. Thank you. I'll bet you I download a whole lot more than you do. I could name you 10 right now, right off the top of my head. Do you have 10? Okay. I download a ton because I love to hear good preaching. Sometimes the well goes dry. Sometimes those preachers are just not doing it for me. Sometimes they don't make themselves available. Sometimes I have to pay for the sermons. I'm not doing that. And so Psalm 42 says, no. That's not enough. You have to preach to yourself. And you say yourself, you say, soul, why? Do you understand what why means?
When I have three boys, and I have four boys now, but three of them, half the time I'm saying, why? And I'm not asking for an answer. I'm not, they don't need to tell me I know the reason. But I'm trying to show them, your reason for doing this does not make any sense whatsoever. So why? And you're telling your soul, so what? You're distant from God. You're depressed. You can't sleep. You're crying. You can't pull yourself. So what? What does that have to do with God? Kankenai. Because if you love God and if you believed in God, you need to tell your soul. Your problems and your worries are your problems and your worries. But God is good all the time. And He is worthy of the praise. So in one sense, I know this is kind of tough. In one sense, it's a stiff upper lip. It's a buck up. It's get yourself together. That's one part of it. That's not all of it, okay? But there's an element of that. Because some of us in here, we're just too, how do I put it, soft, wimpy. Okay, got no legs to you, spiritually. And some of us just need to slap ourselves in the face and say, why? You have a reason to praise Him. But then there's more to it. Put your hope in God. And I love how Jim put it this morning. There's no such thing as a desperate prayer. We were talking about that. Desperation and prayer, it's like an oxymoron, because to pray means there is hope, right? And so there's desperate in prayer, it doesn't make sense. And I thought, oh, yeah. Put your hope in God. There is hope, like Cindy says. There is hope. Now, I love, it does. Our translation in the NIV, the way we read it, it says the same thing every single time. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. The actual Hebrew, it's different. And the NIV doesn't translate it. If you go to the old translations, the more direct translations, they have it. It's very small in its nuance. The part where it says, my Savior and my God, it progresses from God will help me. God is going to help me, my Savior and my God. God is going to save me. And then at the very end, in verse 4, in Psalm 43, he says, He is saving me. He is my help. He is helping me. And you can't get in our translation, but he progresses from one part where the hope is just so small. God is going to help me. I know it. I believe it. And then he gets to the point where he's preached himself enough to where, yeah, God is saving me. I don't need a preacher. I don't need, you know, all of this music. I don't need all the blah, 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 blah. I know it in my heart that God is saving me. Can you do that? Can you do that? I'm asking you. Can you grab yourself by the collar and start preaching the gospel to yourself? I said the gospel. Can you preach the gospel to yourself? Because here's something the psalmist does not have that we do. We have the gospel. How is it that you can have hope despite all of this? This is my last point. This is the cure. See, the psalmist, the sons of Korah, they were looking forward to something. They were looking forward to someone. Every psalm, every song whispers his name. And the whisper is there. Do you see where it says, why have you forgotten me? Why have you rejected me? Do you see that? There was one who said that when they put him on the cross. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He understands that feeling. In other words, he took that rejection. He took the abandonment so that you and I can be accepted. That's how we can have hope. The cross says that he was rejected and abandoned and forgotten so that we can be accepted and remembered and be favored of God. Amen. That's one. There's a second one. It says there, my enemies are tormenting me. They're mocking me and they're saying, where is your God? While they stab me in the gut. You see the sword right there in my bones. There was one who was stabbed in his side. There was one who took the mocking and the torment and all of that. His name was Jesus. He was on that cross. And he took it from them so that we can forgive those who torment us. That's the gospel. He took our rejection so that we can be accepted. He took our torment and mocking so that we can finally forgive. Forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. Let's come to the table today. Let's come to the bread and the cup, and let's receive because he was rejected. And you take that bread and you say, Jesus, I receive you. I take you in because you have taken me in. And you take the cup and you say, thank you, Jesus, that because of this blood, though my sins were as crimson, I am now white as snow. All because he went through the dark night so that we can have the light of the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. So prepare yourself for communion and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to ask you to please open the eyes of our hearts. Lord, let us find you once more. It's so hard to find you. You're so hard to get. But we thank you, Lord God, that you promised us, when you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given to you. That's a promise you gave to us, Jesus. And so now we come seeking, knocking, asking. We want to find you, O God. Reveal yourself to us once more. We're not asking for an emotional high, hair standing up or chills in our spine. We just want to know that we have you. We will not leave until we know. Assure us, O God. Though we seek you, Lord, would you find us? And Lord, we come to the table now, receiving the hope from you, the faith, and we'll thank you once again for turning us around. We thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.